hello. Hopefully everybody there can hear me. So welcome to this week's Safety Hour. I presume I've been introduced, but if not, it's Sam McCarthy, Root Finance Director here. So I'm going to just talk through the format of this call, go through the call, and then ask for questions, feedback, and any other comments at the end. So I hope that's okay with everybody. So I'm going to start the call with a personal safety moment. I'm then going to talk a bit about this week's statistics or stats. I'm going to talk a bit about our Keep a Clear Head campaign, a bit about PPE, and a bit about our vehicle tracking system. So quite a lot to cover on the call today. Bit of a mixture, so hopefully that'll keep you all awake before, after, or during your lunch. So starting with my personal safety moment, it's something that happened to me a few weeks ago. So we've been talking at our exec around safety boots and the importance of having good safety boots and having them laced up and helping prevent twisted ankles and things. Remember, you probably won't know that I've got a horse, and I have to admit, when I go to the stables and see my horse, if I'm just going up quickly and I've driven there, I tend to keep my trainers on. Now, having had this discussion at our exec meeting about safety boots, I was driving to the stables and I thought, you know, I'm being a bit silly here. I've got 3/4 ton of live animal and I'm walking, leaving it in trainers, where in the boot of my car is a pair of boots. They're long boots and they're not steel toed hat, but they have a protective shield across the foot, which means if you get trodden on, they protect your foot. So I got to the stables and I put my boots on and I went to get my horse out the stable, and on the way out, he did something he's never done before, he tripped. And as he landed and upright himself, he stood on my foot. Now, it just struck me that for whatever reason, you know, we'd had the discussion before and I'd worn those boots, and although, you know, I must say it hurt and I did say a few choice words, there's no lasting damage, and if I'd had my trainers on, I'd have been up at A&E. So it just reminded me that, you know, we talk about it at work, we should also carry that out in our personal lives, and also that the importance of protecting your feet for all sorts of events, whether it be, you know, dropping something on your foot on track or a large animal trainer on your foot. So that's my personal safety moment and just a bit of reflection for me and making sure I do the right thing and the safe thing. So moving into a bit more NR focus, I want to talk about the stats for the week. So safety attendance last week was 59%. That's below the target that we set ourselves. These are really, really important, and they're important to take time out and reflect about, you know, safety, things that are going on in the business in terms of safety, as well as anything we wish to cascade. It's your chance to ask questions, to have a debate, you know, and it just stop and think for a bit. So I really encourage you to keep dialing in those that are on the call. And if there's anybody, your colleague that you'll see sitting around you that aren't dialed in, just ask them. Ask them if they're dialing into one this week. Ask them why not. Maybe encourage that. That would be really good. Close calls are a similar story, so we're way below the target we set ourselves on close calls. Now, I'm quite passionate that we don't chase a number in terms of a target, and that we do close calls, and they're the right thing to do, but 38 is low across our patch. I did 2 last week, so I struggle to believe that, you know, with our 1,800 people that are out every day, that we don't see the unsafe acts or unsafe things around us. So please think about it when you're out and think about, if you see something or a behaviour that's unsafe or something that could be a tripping hazard, even if you fix it, close call it, because it enables us to capture that information and look for trends and do some analysis on it. It enables us to see if the same thing's happening in the same area. So again, you know, if you fixed it, that's absolutely great. That's what we want to do. But still close call it and make sure you mark the box to say you've fixed it. So, you know, when you see those things that are tripping hazards that you move, Just remember, close call it so we can look for the trend. You know, if we've got the same area, we'll get the same slipping hazard. Have we got the same door that's locked all the time? Have we got, you know, a particular area where we're behaving unsafely, maybe not wearing the right PPE? So just really want you to think over the next week about that and look to try and be aware and raise those close calls if you see things that aren't safe around us. That's what it's there for. The good news is we are closing them out. So we're 81% of our closed calls are being closed out within 90 days. So that's really, really good to see. So, you know, they are having an effect. We're doing stuff about them. That's pretty good rate. We're slightly ahead of target, but we also need to keep the focus on it. We'll only improve the safety if we close calls out once we've raised them. So moving on then, the next thing that I want to talk to you about is our Keep a Clear Head campaign. Now, you may have seen some posters, you may have seen some media, you may have heard some stuff on the radio. I was handed a coaster the other day that someone had picked up at a pub. They've picked up in the pub and thought of me and decided to hand it to me to show me about the campaign. If anybody on the call within 5 minutes call, you can see posters in the toilets. So what is it about? This is really about people, you know, let's be honest, having a few too many drinks and maybe behaving unsafely around the railway and importing more risk. So we've got a couple of examples. We've got the example of Jet Compton, who lost her son. You know, really, really tragic. He lost her son because he jumped over the barrier at Shoreham Station and got hit by a train. And this is really, really sad. And this is around, you know, people making different decisions. So the Keep a Clear Head is around, would we make the same decision if we hadn't had that couple of drinks? And being aware that we may make different decisions. We also have a guy called Chris Santos. He was electrocuted in Totten after having a night out on the Isle of Wight. Okay, he took a shortcut across the track and he fell on the power lines. He's really, really lucky to be here, but he lost a leg in the process. Again, he's helping, he's talking about his experience, but it's around that thinking before you act. So the campaign started in November. We recognise there's a 25% increase in alcohol rate incidents in December. That probably doesn't surprise anybody with the run-up to Christmas and Christmas parties and having that extra drink that we might not always have. We also should be aware of our staff. You know, the number of violent offences reported across railway stations also increased by 8% last year over the festive period. So this is 8% more of our staff are subject to violent offences that are alcohol-related, a high proportion of them, which is quite sad. So we've got three other focus. We've got the level crossing misuse, we've got station slip, trips and falls, and the public order violence and personal safety campaigns. So it's a key message. This isn't around telling people not to have a drink and not have fun. It's about telling people to think about what their actions are once they've had a drink. You know, think about what they would do and how they would behave if they were sober. So you know, when people, we're trying to encourage people when they're on the train to behave in the right way. You know, I don't know about anybody else on the call, but it's not that great if you're on the way home from work and you're surrounded by a number of people under the influence that are quite loud and aggressive. So it's about you know, trying to encourage people to think about that. So a whole series of things going on, from media and joint stuff with the BTP, through to videos, the drink coasters in the pubs and bars that I mentioned, digital screen advertising and posters. So it's, say, a whole host of activity going on around that. And for you guys in the call, again, just think, you know, think hard about the DNA policy we have and about how you might be affected by alcohol the next day. You know, I personally, if I've had a drink in the evening before, I won't drive, you know, the next day. And if I do, certainly not until much later in the day. Because I know that in the morning after a night out, that my reactions are slower. Therefore, I'm not going to get behind the wheel of a car. So again, think about the same. If you're out on track, think about, you know, am I, you know, did I have a few too many last night? And now are my reactions the same as they would have been without? So that's why policy is there. It's there to protect us. Okay, I will take any questions or comments on that at the end. Next thing I want to talk about being winter is around our PPE and about keeping warm. So it's easier today. It's slightly warmer today. It's raining, it's drizzly, it's not very nice, but it's not overly cold. I know it's not overly cold because a few weeks ago, for the first time ever, I bought thermal tights. I'm quite surprised to myself for buying thermal tights, but I was cold in the office. Today I'm wearing them and I'm pretty warm. It's pretty warm out there. But we shouldn't be fooled by that, because the temperatures could drop suddenly. It can turn very cold, as we know, at this time of year. So the key thing is, if you're out on track, it's about keeping warm. And the best way to keep warm is layers. So the recommendation is 3 layers. It really does work. You know, for those of you who haven't tried it, I'm quite keen walking. And if I walk up a mountain, especially this time of year, I'm never cold. I'm never cold because I wear my base layer, I wear my mid layer, and I wear a waterproof and windproof jacket. So, you know, if I go out walking, no matter what the conditions, I know I'm going to be warm. So again, working on track, you can purchase base layers, you can purchase your mid layers, your fleeces and your waterproof jackets. They're all available for everybody for our teams. And look out for colleagues that may not necessarily have the right, you know, the right PPE. And it's important to get it now. You know, if you wait until it's cold, by the time you've got the PPE, the weather's probably changed again. The other thing is about carrying spare gloves. So if your gloves get cold, you know, damp, wet, they're not going to be that effective in terms of keeping your hands warm. So carry a spare pair. Make sure you've got another pair. So if they do get wet, you can change them. You can still keep your extreme hot. And extra socks. Wear an extra layer of socks. And the other thing, you know, to be very aware of when the temperature drops is the conditions. So is the ground slippery? You know, how the conditions underfoot? Have we put down anti-slippy ices on walkways, on steps? You know, that's about looking after you and your colleagues. So if there's a set of steps and they've not been de-iced them, that don't, you know, risk somebody else tripping or falling. And then some simple things like lacing your boots up properly. You know, I know if I've got my walking boots and they're not laced up tight, my foot will slip in them. There's more risk of twisting my ankle. They're not very effective. So, you know, if you're wearing your boots, make sure they're tightened up properly so they really are effective. So all the things we can do to keep warm, help ourselves, and also avoid those accidents we have through not wearing the right equipment. The last thing I want to talk about is the vehicle tracking system. We like an acronym, so VTS, for those of you who might have seen the it's published anywhere under VTS. So what is the idea of this? This is about safety. This is about reducing the number of people harmed whilst driving. Okay, the statistics are significant. You know, 800 to 1,000 people are killed annually in work-related road traffic accidents. That's 800 to 1,000 people who were going home or coming to work, who wanted to see their family that evening but didn't make it back. That's a lot of people. Network Rail Road Fleet, around 8,000 vehicles and drive approximately 128 million miles a year. A lot of miles, that's a lot of risk in terms of driving. So, as you know, in 2013, we introduced the life-saving rules around speed, things like seat belts. 306 network rail employees have been injured in 242 road traffic accidents since then, with speed being a contributing factor in a number of those. I'm really surprised about the number of people I still see without a seatbelt. It really, really surprises me. So again, you know, make sure you're wearing your seatbelt. Make sure you're checking your colleagues are wearing their seatbelts and ask the question. So going back to the vehicle trackers, 85% of those road accidents occurred in 30, 40, and 50 mile an hour speed zones. Okay, so you know, what is it? Why are we installing these? It's to help you drive safely. So, you know, I don't know, it's strangely in these calls because you don't get any feedback, but, you know, I you know, will admit myself over the years, you know, you've been driving and you've glanced down at your speedo and you're doing a few more miles an hour than you thought you were. Okay, so you're just going over the speed limit. All right. You know, it happens, it creeps, you might be going down a hill. You know, there's lots of reasons why people might exceed the speed limit other than deliberate speeding. So this system is designed to alert you when that happens. So if you go over the speed limit, it will have an audio sound. I don't know what it sounds like myself yet, but I will go and find that out to remind you or to alert you to the fact you're going over a speed limit. So it will help. It will help when, you know, you just go a few miles over and you didn't realise you were going, or you know, if there's a point where you're not exactly sure what the limit is, the system will alert you to say that you're going over the speed limit. It's live data, okay? It labels you as a driver to receive real-time feedback, and it also enables you to be able to go in and look at your driving style and your driving. Very similar, I would say, to, you know, you see it lots with insurance where your teenagers have a black box. You know, Jeremy Westack, our CFO, was talking the other day at one of his team meetings, and he was saying when he has this technology in his own son's car and he gets in it, he finds himself driving very differently. Almost a bit of a competition between him and his son who can drive safer, but he finds it has an effect. So it is proven technology, so we know it improves driver behaviour. Okay, it will, you know, if we can reduce speeding, we'll reduce fatalities and we'll reduce injuries relating to traffic accidents. Okay, so really, really key. And it also has a side benefit, I need to mention it because I'm a finance director, that, you know, it will reduce the running cost of vehicles. If we drive sensibly within the speed limit, it reduces the amount of fuel we use, it reduces wear on the tyres, it reduces fines, and if we reduce accidents, it reduces insurance claims. That's not the driver for it, but it has a business case as well. We should note that. Okay. It's an intelligent system that provides warnings for national speed limit warnings for when you're in the speed limit zones. It's in casual, it's visual, it's audio, you know, your benefit from the minute it goes out. And it helps modify that behaviour, so it helps you reduce your speed before that speed gets up too high. Okay. Important things to know is that it cannot be used by managers to see where the staff are. I know there's been some concerns that it'll be used to track where individuals are, but that's not what this is about. It's about reducing incidents related to vehicles. So it's being trialled in Wessex. We've got 40 vehicles fitted for user acceptance testing. So user acceptance, that's really, really important. It's important that we hear from users what's good, what's bad, which enables us to refine the system as we go forward. That trial is expected to last for 4 weeks. Okay, so now, you know, thorough tracking. Okay, so I'll take any questions on that when we get to the end. But it's, you know, it looks a bit like a sat nav would look. Okay, it visually tells you what the speed limit is, and it alerts you if you go over that speed limit. The data recording it is secure. Okay. And we expect to have 90% fitment committed by March 2017. So that's everything that I wanted to cover. I'm going to open up for questions and comments now. I really would like to hear your views and anything I've talked about. Time for a bit of a debate. People take much more in if we discuss it rather than just trying to take, I really encourage those questions. So I'm going to open up now for Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and then press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. So just to remind you, to ask a question, key star one, record your name, and press the hash key. Our first question comes from the line of Ivan. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sam. It's not really a question. It was just a couple of comments, really. We often do depot drugs and alcohol random testing, where we do the whole depot at this time of the year. So I think it's worthwhile everybody being aware of that. We did that last year, and a number of people were caught above the limit and had the consequences of that. So we will be doing random DNA or depot checks at this time of the year. So it's really important that people are very careful about next day still being under the effects of drink or whatever, and that we shouldn't be turning DT for under that. And the other thing was that don't forget to record your presence on the safety hour call. It's really good that you've dialed in, but please make sure you've recorded that to Adam Stewartson or on the app that you've been partaking on the safety hour, because we feel a number of people have been doing that but haven't been recording it. So we just want people to get the sort of credit for it, as it were, to show that they are taking part in safety hours, either this or their own team one or whatever. So they're the only comments I wanted to make, just to add to what you were saying, really, Sam.
And thanks for that, Ivan. I do think it's really, really important. And the way, you know, I think about this, you know, it's the next morning for me is sometimes worse than the night, because the night, when you're drinking, you sort of know you're drinking, so you wouldn't get in a vehicle. Now, if you then get in at 1 in the morning, okay, and you're up at 7, that's, what, 6 hours between getting in and getting up. If you were drinking at 2 in the afternoon and you had a lot to drink, you wouldn't think get in the car at 8 o'clock in the evening. So you might have had a sleep, but that might have been disruptive sleep. It wouldn't have been as deep. You know, it could be a different type of sleep. So it's really thinking about how much time have you given yourself between finishing your drink and getting up and going to work. It's just so important. And it's a risk to everybody else, not just yourself. So Ivy is spot on. We do random tests, but the important thing for me is it's the risk to other people, other road users and your colleagues, if you're not totally with it, that we really, really shouldn't be putting people at risk. Don't put your colleagues at risk, don't put yourself at risk, and don't put the public at risk.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. Hi, Sam. We currently have no questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. So I'll give it a couple more minutes for if anybody thinks of anything they've got, questions, comments they've got, and then we'll close the call. But I really do encourage you to think about those questions you've got or add any helpful comments like Ivan do. Okay, if we've got no more questions, then we'll end the call. Thanks very much for dialing in. As Ivan said, don't forget to record your attendance. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. So thank you for joining and have a very good day.